This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Eternal Father, we come today with thanksgiving in our hearts and a praise on our lips, recognizing You being God and God all by Yourself. Dear Lord, we thank You for another day. At this hour of our lives, we just want to tell You thank You for being God who knows all, sees all, and can do all. We recognize You today as the all-powerful God, the perfect God who's never made a mistake. Lord, I take comfort today knowing that You know all about me. You know the numbers of the hairs on my head. You know my story. You know my right now. You know my tomorrow. And God, I take comfort in knowing that You're all-powerful. Lord, we thank You for this day that we did not know was going to come to pass. It was an unpromised day, but it was a day that You allowed us to see by Your providence. You touched us this morning with Your hand of mercy and allowed us to see another day. You put breath back in our body to utilize the gift that You've given us to be productive citizens for the kingdom. God, we thank You for a place today to worship and to praise You and to sing Your glory and to shout Your glory, to pray to You, to leave things at the altar and to hear Your word and share in Your word. Fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank You that there's a place to worship. Thank You, O God, for bringing us through this week. Many things we saw since the last time we were in this place. Many things we heard. Many things we've said. Many things we've experienced since the last time we were here. Some good and some bad. But God, You're still God, and You allow us to see this day. And we know, O God, and we thank You today that there's still purpose for our lives. Because if it were not a purpose, God, You would have called us with You. And so we thank You that You still have a purpose for those of us who are still breathing. Lord, today we come asking You for a fresh anointing, a fresh covering, a fresh release, a fresh rain of Your anointing, Your presence over these, Your people, dear Lord. That You would stir up the gifts in us, that you would restart us or rejuvenate us or renew us, O God, in the name of Jesus. God, if there are any in this house today who are not saved, who do not know You as their Father, we pray today that something will be said or done, that they will be wanting to know more about You and want to have a relationship, a true relationship with You. God, if there's anyone who's down and distressed and disgusted this morning, oh God, we pray that You will lift them up, that You will bless them, that You will strengthen them and give them comfort, give them encouragement, give them that touch, that special touch that only You can give. Now, oh God, we come before You asking You for a word, that You would give this preacher preaching power, that You would stand with me as I stand for You. Touch, oh God, like only You can. We need a fresh touch from You. We need to be blessed by Your word. There's power in Your word, victory in Your word. There's deliverance in Your word, healing in Your word, oh God. And Father, we need Your word today. We pray, God, not only for the hearers, but the doers of Your word. We thank You, oh God, for Your son, Jesus Christ, who makes every day worth living because He died on that cross one time and rose on the third day morning. And for that, oh God, we thank You that we have a place with You. And in the meantime, oh God, until You call us home, give us peace, give us joy, give us long suffering, that we'll be able to hang on in there a little while longer. We thank You and we praise You. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Sweet, I know storm clouds may rise and strong winds may blow, chapter number 13. Ministers assembling in this place in the pulpit and the pew, to all of our officers and leaders and all of you, my Father's children, today we thank God for your presence and for his presence with us today in this worship experience. And to all of you, we bid you good morning, but to those who are comfortable and calm like me, I just want to say, hey, we're so glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. It is good to be here. Amen. God has something special for you to do. Don't think that your life is a waste. There is purpose for your life. Amen. Would you stand with us, those who are able and willing, stand with us for the reading of God's word. St. Luke chapter 13, we'll share a few words the Lord has given us on our heart to share with you, and we'll be out of your hair for the day. Amen. St. Luke chapter 13, the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 13, and we will commence reading at verse number 10. St. Luke chapter 13, commence reading at verse number 10. Are we there? Amen. Let's go into the word of God and see what the Lord is saying. And we find recorded in God's word, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. Would you look to someone to your left or your right and tell them good morning? Good morning. Say, neighbor, pardon my honesty, but I need the devil off my back. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Blessed are those who read, hear, and apply God's holy word. We will study this particular pericope for these next two Sundays, this Sunday, and on next Sunday we'll share the latter portion of this context. But Lord, we wanted to bring it to a more microscopic look tonight, today, to share with us. This will deal with, under the heading, if you would, call it the character of a Christian, the true character of a Christian, these two Sundays. If you want to call it a series, you can, but we will deal with this particular context on these next two Sundays. But today we look at this particular text, and we come under the umbrella, under the heading, I need to get the devil off my back. Now, in order to really receive from God today, you've got to be honest, like you've never been honest before. I believe this morning, and I'm not the only one who can attest to it, that we've got enough evidence over the last 30 to 60 days that the devil is real. I believe for those of us deep Christians who want to denounce the existence of Satan, that Satan is not the prince of the air, that he is not as powerful, that he doesn't have imps, and he does not have a movement. For those of us who doubted that for so long, I believe we've been allowed this season of our lives to find out that the devil is real. Amen. The good news today is that if the devil is real, God sure enough got to be real. And that's good news for the believer today. Amen. Amen. As much stuff as the devil has been allowed to do to you and I, y'all, you got to know that God is real. And I believe that God, in this season that we're in, God is allowing us, because we have denounced his power, he has allowed us in some kind of way, by God being God, he has allowed us to let fool the devil a lot so that we will understand who he really is. Because many of us do not understand or don't want God on our own. So some of us have to go through some stuff and experience some stuff before we will finally bow down and recognize the power of the Most High God. Because in our community, it's been prophesied and shared with us that we have turned from God. We've turned from God's word. We've turned from God's will. We've turned from God's way. And so God says, instead of me sending lightning, instead of me sending thunder, instead of me sending a famine, I'm just going to let them deal with the devil. And maybe if they deal enough with the devil, they'll be able to see that I'm God who can deliver them even from demonic presences. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll be honest and say that the devil has been on my back. I don't know about you this morning. I don't know. I'm not deep enough yet to come into God's house and pretend as though my life has been roses and every I has been dotted and every T has been crossed. Here I stand before you, honest and transparent, as a man of God, telling you that the devil sometimes gets on my back. And you'll do yourself a favor this morning if you could be honest and say, Lord, the devil gets on my back. I don't care what office I hold in church. I don't care about my marital status. I don't care how much money I have. I don't care what people think I am. I need to be honest and say, y'all can talk about me all you want. You can look at me all sideways, but I need the devil off my back. When y'all leave me, I still got to deal with the devil. When I get off work, I still got to deal with the devil. Y'all see the good stuff, but y'all don't see the devil that didn't want me to get to the good stuff. And so often, y'all, we don't want to be honest and say the devil been messing with me. But I believe that I'm talking to some people this morning that the devil done been in your head. The devil done been in your marriage. The devil done been in your house. The devil done gotten your money. The devil done got on your children. The devil done messed with some relationships. The devil has been working on you. And you need to be honest and say, God, I need the devil off my back. Now, it's one thing, y'all, to have him on, but it's another thing to want him off. And God comes today to give you a word, a breath of fresh air, that God said, I'm willing to take him off your back. But you got to be honest and ask him to take him off your back. I'm not going to let him off, because if you ain't going to cry out to me, if you're not going to be honest with me, God said, you must be happy with him. But God is looking for some people who don't care how cute y'all think I am, how big time I am, how pompous or arrogant y'all think I am. I don't care what y'all say. Y'all can gossip. Y'all can murmur. Say what y'all want to say. But I need the devil off my back. Am I the only one who needs some relief in their life? Am I the one who needs some release today? Am I the one who needs some strength today? Am I the only one who needs some power, who needs some purpose, who needs to go higher, who needs to be lifted, who needs to be encouraged? Am I the only one? No. I need the devil. I'm trying to get through it myself without choking up. Because I need the devil off my back. And we find this text, brothers and sisters, this woman who comes to the house of God. This is the last time that Luke records Jesus being in the synagogue. This is the last time that we record Jesus preaching in church. Who knows if you go get next Sunday? Who knows if you go get next month when you get yourself together? And by the way, those of us who say we need to get ourselves together, why we ain't been able to do it yet? It's because it ain't for you to do. It's for God to put us together. If you could put yourself together, you wouldn't need God. This is the last time Luke records Jesus being in the synagogue. He now, anything Jesus does, he does by circumstance or happenstance outside of the temple. Oh, it's a Sabbath. And the Sabbath, y'all, is the day that the Jews have set aside for rest.
Now, it was originally set aside by God in early Hebrews as a time for rest and worship. But it now has grown to just being a day of rest. It was meant to pattern the 6 days that the Lord created everything, and on that seventh day, he was to rest. And we're supposed to follow that pattern of working, then resting, and worshiping. Many of us have neglected the worship part. We've taken the original meaning of Sabbath out. We have no problem with work. We have no problem with rest. But why many times the devil is still on many of our back is because we've forgotten to worship. And here we find that there's a service going on. There's a worship going on. And thank God Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. He just got through giving a parable of the fig tree, saying that after 3 years, the Lord of the tree came looking for the fruit. And if he didn't find the fruit, he's going to get rid of the tree, the leaves, and everything else. But the vine dresser said, Lord, give me a little more time. If you give me a little more time, I'll be able to make sure some fruit comes from this tree. Isn't that us today? That we've asked the Lord, give us a little bit more time. If you give me a little more time, I'll get myself right. I'll hear your word. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'm going to keep me out of jail, Lord. Keep me from going through. Keep me out of foreclosure. Keep me out of bankruptcy. Keep me from divorce, Lord. I'll finally get it right. And then he comes back and we still got more excuses. And so here we find Jesus teaching in the synagogue. And this woman attends worship. This woman has been dealing with an issue for 18 years. This woman, the Bible tells us that this woman has been bowed together. In other words, she's dealing with a severe issue of the curvature of her back. She is so bent over that she's almost folded herself. She cannot lift up her head, cannot lift up her eyes. All she can do is walk and just show up. She is bent over. Now she is dealing with back issues. The devil has gotten on her back. Verse 16 of this chapter would tell you that the devil is the one who did it. And for whatever reason, God allowed the devil to do some stuff to us. And we've got to get the right view on God today, that sometimes God will allow us or permit us to be oppressed by the devil, but never possessed by the devil. And I can thank God this morning that even though the devil is on my back, I can praise and celebrate God today that the devil ain't in my heart. Is there anybody else's testimony today? Yes, he may be messing up my stuff. He might be messing with people in my life. He might be trying to mess with my mind, but he has not yet taken away my worship. I will still praise God. I will still love the Lord. I will still pray. I will still read his word. She this morning is in the church. And she comes, so happens that the Lord sees her, the Lord touches her, gives her a word, she gets straightened up, and she glorifies God. That's the message. That's the story. But if you allow me to backpedal just for a minute, and we'll look at some things that will be very important to our walk with the Lord. We need to get the devil off our back. Notice that I said that this woman is oppressed. Now, there's a difference between if you are oppressed by the devil and then being possessed by the devil. To be possessed by the devil means that the devil has taken over you. To be oppressed by the devil means that the devil trying to take you over. And so you got to understand that if the devil is not trying to bother you, he already got you. Because he goes, walks to and fro, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. So if you are one of those deep folks this morning who gonna say that you don't ever have issues and you ain't never had dialogue with the devil, he already got you. And sometimes you can be possessed with your own arrogance. Possessed with your own high-mindedness. Ain't no need for the devil to do nothing with you. He's already done it in you because you're too prideful to even ask God to help you. Well, how do we get the devil off our back like this woman does? This woman is going to make some of y'all mad. Because when I first studied this text, it made me mad. I got kind of upset with this woman because she's going to do something that y'all don't like. She's going to do some stuff that many of us don't want to do. If we study this text, how many of y'all go study it with me? How many of y'all go open the text with me right here? If you do this with me, y'all go be mad at this woman. I'm telling you now. The amens go stop. The hallelujahs go stop. Because we're finna dig into this and see how this woman got the devil off her back. And then you're gonna see why he ain't got off yours yet. This woman is gonna represent to us the right kind of Christian. Somebody say right kind of Christian. She's not just some everyday Christian. This is the right kind of Christian. This is the Christian that God is calling for in this season of our lives. God says, I done all I'm going to do until you do some stuff for me. What does this woman do to get the devil off her back that we need to do the same? First thing she does, she continues to be in worship. I told you. I told you, amen, it's going to stop. First point of the text, get the devil off your back, continue to be in worship. Look in the text. Don't look at me. Look in the text. The woman has been dealing with an issue. She's been oppressed by the devil for 18 years. But she still shows up to worship. There it is. I might not get off that point right there. She bowed together, got back problems. Severe chronic osteoporosis. Can't see up, can't look up, but keep finding herself in worship. She takes away our excuse, y'all, because this woman, no matter how bad it gets, she don't stop going to church. I told you. The woman, 18 years. Do you know how miserable you got to be for 18 years that you can't look up? You're so far down, you forgot what up is. Yet, she don't let that stop her from being in worship. Can I go one step further? People see her issue. People criticize her issue. Because church folk, just like Jews did, every time you go through and deal with the devil, folk think you done something wrong. They think you done made God mad, and God mad at you, and God condemning you. So many times, we don't come to church because we don't want church folk saying nothing about what we got going on, because we're supposed to be Jesus Jr., and God people shouldn't go through. But here we find a woman for 18 years who's been dealing with a back problem, but it ain't stopped her voice. Dealing with a back problem, but ain't stopped her hands. She can't see Jesus, but she keep going to where Jesus is. And here we are, some of us can't go through nothing for 7 days, can't go through stuff for 1 year, can't go through one issue, can't go through one sickness, can't go through one job loss, can't go through one relationship breakup, and you give up on God, you give up on church, you stop coming to worship, you shut down on God, and you stay home, and you complain, and you gripe, and you wallow, and you lay out, and you drink, and you smoke, but you will not be in worship. That's why he on your back, because you won't come to his house. That's the reason some of y'all right now can't get him off your back, because you won't go to his house. It ain't hard. Ain't no magic trick. You just stay in worship. Because you don't come here for people. I wish I had somebody help me preach this. You don't come here for people. If I came for people, I wouldn't come no more. But I come for Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you gotta stop making people be your excuse. I don't care if the pastor ain't right. I don't care if the deacon ain't right. God is my everything. God is perfect. I'm coming for Jesus. Tell somebody next to you, stop making excuses. Tell them you ain't coming because you don't want to. That's right. Amen. That's it. Amen. That's it. she worships. Y'all miss me? Not when it get off her, she'll worship. But even, oh Lord, can that be anybody else's cry just like mine? Even when my issue, I'm still gonna worship. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Yes, Lord.
Since when, y'all, is your church attendance based on somebody's look? Preach, Ham. Every excuse not to be in worship, but no excuses to miss work. And the stuff you need to be at, you won't go to. And God says, I can't keep letting y'all perpetrate and front with me. Because y'all telling people y'all already know me, but you don't even know where I live. How you type with God don't know where his house is. People I'm close with, I know where they live. Not just where they meet me, but I know where they reside. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This woman, with all her problems, still continues 18 years of people pointing. You still come to church, Maybell, and your back ain't got no better. I wouldn't keep wasting my time, Maybell, going to a church and your back still messed up. God must not go fix it. Why would you keep going to church and it ain't doing no good? Because it ain't about my back. It's about my heart. That if he take my back, I still got my soul fed. You ain't here to feel better. You here to be better. You ain't here for God to work out everything. Sometimes you're here for you to work some stuff out for God. You ain't here every day to get from God. You're here every Sunday to give to God. And the reason some of y'all got the devil on your back is because you ain't gave God nothing. Ain't gave him no time. Ain't gave him no worship. But you show up on a Sunday morning like he's supposed to fix your job, fix your money, fix your body. What for? Because sometimes that's the only thing gonna keep in his house when the devil on your back. Here it is. If problems is the only thing that's going to get you to God's house, he'll let you keep dealing with problems. Preach anyway, Ham. Because y'all won't come to him when you get better. You finally get a man, now you stop coming. You get delivered from cancer, now you don't come no more. Now every Sunday you at the lake. But when you was going through, you was at the altar. And that's why he ain't off y'all back. Because if he didn't get out, if God would have taken the devil off your back now, the Lord know, we may not know, but the Lord know you ain't coming back no more. Oh, I would be honest. But I got to move on. Some of our senior saints, don't y'all be studying how they look at you, some of our senior members. Only reason they here, because ain't nothing else for them to do. They too old to do what they want to do. If they still had your energy, if their medication would allow it, they wouldn't be here either. But God's looking for folk who, even with the issues, even though y'all know what I got wrong, because see, a back problem, you can't hide. To be bold together, you can't hide that. People go see, ooh, Maybell. And people go be nudging. Every time she come to church, here she come again. There she is. I wouldn't be coming. I wouldn't keep coming looking like that. Can you imagine how she had to change and shift her clothes? She can't be cute because her body won't allow her to be cute. The issue she got, she can't front like some of us do. See, some of us put suits on and dresses on, and we hide our black hearts. And we hide what we got on our mind. But this woman here got problems that she can't hide. She got to get special made clothes just to be able to cover herself. But she still go to worship. And some of us, we don't come back to worship till we done got ourselves fixed. I'm still messed up, but I don't look messed up. You try to hide the scars because you don't want people to know that he shot you. Don't want people to know you've been in a fight, so I'm going to wait till it heals, then I come. But you still got internal damage. But you want to look better so that people won't talk about you. I want to be to the point, I ain't coming back to church with you till we done got this resolved. Because I'm not going to sit with you and fake like we all right. So whatever this problem is before Sunday morning, I don't care if God fixes us or not, but you and I, we ain't going to be mad right now, because between 11 and 1, we go sit together, we go hold hands, we go wear the same thing, but then we get home. Don't think I forgot. Preach anyway, Ham. Don't think I forgot what you did and what you said, but we got to go put on. And I will not give them the satisfaction of seeing me suffer. And many of you this morning came to this house not happy, not with expectation, but you came because you're supposed to. And you're not going to be honest with God. You're not going to tell him that you're hurting, because you ain't going to give other folk who done talked about you the satisfaction of seeing you in pain. I will not give them the satisfaction. God, I got it. I'm just not going to shout. So God means you're going to have a mental telepathy moment. I'm going to think about you, and I want you to think about me. I want you to touch me internally. Do something supernatural without me having to lift my hands, without me having to cry. Oh, I can't cry. Let me go to the bathroom. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to let them see me weak, because if they see me weak, they're going to start attacking. They're going to start talking about me, and they are not going to talk about me. I don't care what. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of seeing me in a weakened state, because they after me. They looking for something in my house. They looking for something in my relationship. They looking to find something wrong with my children. I don't care if he failed. I don't care if he's sick. I don't care if he's going through. I don't care. We going to look the part, because I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of being right. I'm miserable, but y'all ain't finna know I'm miserable. I'm frustrated, but y'all ain't finna know it. My heart has been broken into pieces, but y'all ain't finna know it. And if I'm too depressed to come to church, I just ain't coming. I'm not coming back to that place till I feel better, because they hurt me last time I was there. They hurt my feelings. They said this about me, and I'm not finna just come up in there and be fake and skin and grin like it's all right what they said and did to me. Because we keep thinking that we come here for us. What happened to them amens? We keep coming because we think this is about us. And we come in here and we perpetrate and we put on for all these other people. When we do show up. When we do show up. And we leave like we done God a favor. And then wonder why the devil whooped me Sunday afternoon. First thing you must do. Continue to be in worship. Second thing she does is all going to be based on her continuing to do something. First, she continues to be in worship. Secondly, you continue to believe the word. Lord, have mercy. That's the benefit of being in worship, is that not only do you get to commune with God, but God communes with you. Aren't you tired of third-person accounts? Third-person accounts. See, we got some folk, and I ain't gonna say y'all, but we got some folk amongst us, not y'all, but some folk amongst us who too full of hell to come to church, but steady asking how church was. I'm too full of hell to show it myself, because I must show my displeasure what's going on. But by 2:33, I'm calling. Hey. Hey. How you? Good. How you? I'm all right. What you up to? Oh, nothing much. Just eating. Just got through eating. I'm just about to relax a little bit. That's good. You went to church? Yeah, I went to church. How was it? How was it? And now, you're not supposed to just tell them it was wonderful worship. Well, what was the message? Where you came from? What happened? Well, if you want to know all that, why do I have to take notes and be a stenographer and say word for word what was said, what was done, and you sitting at the house doing nothing? Because you know what I've learned about when you really learn how to worship God right? It's so personal that I just really worry about what I got and what I gave, and I really can't speak for nobody else. So anything I give you ain't gonna be good enough for you, because I'm only gonna give you what I got. Preach anyway, Ham. But some of y'all try to be slick and want to know what happened without being a witness. And so when judgment comes, you can't sit at the witness stand and testify about something you heard. You got to testify about something you know. Ooh. How y'all go? Somebody go ask y'all this evening, and y'all go laugh, and y'all go think of this face. Y'all go think of this face when they go ask you, somebody who just too sorry to come, too mean. They go ask you, how was it? Just to preach with me, Gary. Preach with me. They go ask. That's right. I know it. They go ask. How was it? All right. Continue to believe in the word. Look what happens. She walks in with a bowed situation. She comes to worship. People talking about her. Look at her. There go Maybelle. She's such a sideshow now that they start looking at Maybelle and trying to make a clown out of her instead of seeing, hearing from Jesus. Maybelle ain't doing a mind of her business, but she's still worshiping. And see, the problem with some of us is we're not willing to worship like that. And so we feel like others shouldn't want to worship like that. I wouldn't come and put myself on Front Street like that. And that's why you always go be on Back Street. Can you imagine y'all folk talking about her? And she still show up to worship for 18 years solid. They ain't make her no officer. Look at her. They ain't gonna make her no leader. Look at her. She said, I don't need to be a leader. I just want to be in the house. I just want to be in the house. She comes in the house to hear the word, because Jesus is teaching. Jesus is in the room. And when you come and hear Jesus, you ain't seeing folk. You know what's so good about this situation? You got to learn how to twist what the devil do and turn it for some good. Look what she does. Look at the benefit of this. This woman is so bent over that she can't look up, nor can she look around. So she can't see the folk that's looking at her. Lord have mercy. She can't see the folks who even looking at her. They paying more attention to her. But look, here's the good news. Tell them, keep watching. Keep watching the ones you think God done forgot. Keep looking at the ones you think God ain't paying attention to. Keep on scandalizing. Keep on criticizing. Keep being a skeptic. They not looking at you. She's bowed together. She hears the word. And she can't even, y'all, see Jesus. She can't see anything. She's bent, bowed together. All she can do is look down. 18 years, almost 2 decades of looking down. But isn't it amazing to know that even though you can't see Jesus sometimes, he always sees you. Am I in the Bible? Jesus sees her. He notices her. He doesn't just notice her problem. He notices her showing up with one.
Oh, Lord.
You see, it don't impress the Lord to do stuff when you can. It impresses Jesus to do it when you can't. Or when people say you shouldn't. When it's not convenient to. That's what impresses Jesus. It was other folk in the church, but wasn't nobody in her shape. Oh, I know I'm preaching good. She shows up, bowed, worships, listens, keys in. Jesus notices her, and he starts talking to her. Come forth. Come forth. The woman don't know where she's going, but she do know who called her. Because the first time in all her 18 years of going to church that somebody actually told her, come forth. Everybody else been telling her, get back. Oh, Lord. Everybody else been looking at her shortcomings, telling her, you can't come up here. You can't be a part of this. But this is a distinct voice that tells her, come forth. It's the word of the Lord. Come forth. And when she comes forth, he speaks a word first before he touched her. We're used to the miracles of Jesus where he lay hands and touch. He touched, then talk. This time he talks, then touch. But look very key. Look, it's very key here. Look at verse number 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her to who? Him. See, here's the problem. You got to stop running to people. Amen. I'm not trying to be a deep preacher. I'm just trying to help y'all today. Stop running to people and run to Jesus. Stop assuming that they got him just because they in his house. Because everybody in his house ain't got him. Some people are squatters. Lord, I wish. You know what a squatter is? That's somebody who stay in the house, but ain't paying rent, paying no bills. Now, your children ain't squatters. Don't call your child no squatter when you get home. You're supposed to take care of them. I'm talking about folk who name ain't on nothing, ain't helping nothing. That's called a squatter. And a lot of us are squatters. We just come here, show up, suck up this air, up under this light, don't give God nothing. You got folks who ain't gonna pay, folks who ain't gonna praise. You got folks who go pay but not praise. Folks who go pray but don't pay. Hallelujah! Offering time, I'm out of here. But when you really love the Lord and you appreciate him, I'm gonna pay as I praise, praise as I pay. Both of them. So some of us are squatters and didn't even know we were squatters. Because you think you go give the money to me. Giving the money to a deacon. Giving the money to a trustee. You're supposed to be running this to Jesus. Because if you really was that sincere about where your money go, you would go ask Delaney Adams. You would go ask Matt Marlin. What you finna do with this? You go find Bo Walker? What you finna do with this? But we don't do them like that. Oh, look, everything going crazy. Look at here. But you gotta still continue to hear a word. The word, I'm gonna tell you this, say this to you, I don't know what else to tell you, until you believe it. Ain't nothing gonna change your life but the word. Amen. Nothing. Until you have a word, your life gonna be worse. You've got to stop coming to church. Lord, help me now, I'm finna get in trouble. I got to go home, I got to go to Dallas, I got to go to a conference this week. I ain't got time to do this. Listen, you got to stop coming just to hear singing, and stand up, and I feel better. You had calisthenics. You may got some exercise, but you ain't get changed. You key in for singing. You key in with everything else going, when it's time for the word. And I must be honest with you. Ain't he all right? Ain't it? That ain't the word. That ain't the word either. That Negro know he preach. What do you preach about? I don't. He talked about God. Well, I hope he did talk about God. We as a people, say as a people, have got to start understanding that the word only thing. We got to develop a love for the word. And stop trying to, it's good to be inspired, but it's more important for you to be informed. Because our people perish for a lack of knowledge. See how y'all shut down? Because we don't want to hear a word. But the word of the Lord is what saved this woman. He says, woman, when she came to him at his word, see, he spoke, she moved. Somebody help me praise God for that. I'll clap by myself. You missed it. Verse 12. Jesus saw her. He called her to him, said to her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. He spoke. She moved. Why is the devil still on your back? Because he spoke to you, but you ain't moved yet. The Lord spoke, you wouldn't move. There must be a response between the word and the word hearer, so that we not be hearers only, but be also doers of his word. Is that the Bible? His word that I might hide in my heart, that I might not sin against him. The word is never meant for you just to keep, just to be keeping. There's something for you to do with the word that God gives you. Why isn't God talking to you now? Because he already told you what you need to do. What's the point in God, you asking God for a garage, but God said, you ain't moved into the house yet. I've already told, why can't I get a new relationship? Because you hadn't forgiven like I told you to from the last one. Oh, light bulbs, I need you to shine. I wish you could see these looks. Who you think he is? I don't know either. He speaks, you must move. Look what happened. It was not when he touched her that healed her. It's when he spoke it and she moved that he spoke again. Lord, you missed me. You missed me. You want God to touch you, bless you, and you never move. Keep talking to me and I never move. I'm going to still be miserable. I'm going to still be messy. I'm still going to lie. I'm still going to act stupid. I'm still going to be disobedient. But Lord, keep giving me a word. What for? If you hadn't moved on the last one I gave you. Now, it was already available for her to say, because Jesus speaking, Jesus already had it on his mind to say, you're loose from your infirmity. But I'm not going to speak it, Jesus says, till she moved toward me. And when you move toward Jesus, you got to be moving away from other people. If I had time, I'd preach it. I can feel it. You got to stop. See, when you move to Jesus, you got to tell some other stuff and people bye-bye. And the reason why the devil's on your back is because you won't leave some people. Because one step toward Jesus is going to leave some people behind, and you want them. So you got to start making the word and the touch God wants to put in your life, make it be personal, let it be powerful, and let it be purposeful. He moves, she moves towards him. He says, woman, thou art loosed. This is the first time he used this word, this verb, loosed, in this phrase, in this sense. Loose, you're cut off, it's over. The assignment it had is over. You're loose from this infirmity. Then as she moves to him even further, he laid his hands on her. Well, preacher, how can the Lord lay hands on me even now? Because we can't physically see Jesus. Well, how do we touch Jesus? And how can Jesus touch us? You see, you very seldom see people losing their sense of touch. They lose sight, taste, hearing. It takes a very extreme situation for people to lose touch, because touch symbolizes a connection you're making with whatever it is you touch. It's a plan for something that you touch. Jesus touching you and you touching Jesus symbolizes an intimate relationship. So if I want to touch Jesus, I need to know Jesus. I need to learn of Jesus. Spend time with him. That way he can touch me. Maybe I'm losing you. You cannot touch somebody. I'm the one, do you one better. Know why people don't like fellowship and don't like church? Because you don't want everybody touching you. Because we think that touching certain people touching us, is going to contaminate us. Because something about that touch, now I become what touch me. But when you touch Jesus, and Jesus touches you, the more time I spend with him, the more intimate, the more I know him, read his word, I need to start spending time with what Jesus like. What Jesus loves. And now he touches me just as he touches this woman. Finally, I leave you. You got to continue to be in worship, continue to believe in the word. And then lastly, if you want to get the devil off your back, you must continue to bless him as a witness. You must continue to bless him as a witness. You know why the devil stayed off this woman back? But he keep on ours. Because when the Lord heals us, moves for us, operates in us, we leave. Oh, God. Look at verse 13. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Listen, it was the word that already healed her, but the touch helped to solidify it. So the word heals you. You acting on the word and touching Jesus now starts making what you got look like it. You start looking like what you received. See, the word right now comes to heal you, set you free, deliver you, bring you out. But you know why you don't feel it? Because you ain't touched him yet. And you won't let him touch you. When you let him touch you, now you start looking like what he said. Lord have mercy. So, you don't just leave Jesus after he touched you. This is now, here's the problem with it. Jesus don't tell her what to do next. Look in your Bible. Look at verse 13. He touch her, lay his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Jesus don't say nothing else. Now, ownership is on the one who has been delivered, healed, set free, made better. She now glorifies him without anybody telling her. Why, as good as God been to us, do you need somebody to tell you after all these years to give him glory? The devil's on your back because you won't give God glory. Are you giving more glory to what's on your back? Or are you going to give glory to the one who can get that off your back? Are you worshiping your pain? Think about your conversation this week. What you been talking about all week? I'm sorry. Who you